This morning I want to preach this message for you. Now therefore arise. And we're going to begin in Joshua 1, verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 11 and then come back and draw some truths from this portion this morning. Verse number 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them," or to give them. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Father, we want to thank you for the truth of your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that you don't change. You are God. You always have been, you always will be. You never change. Lord, I also thank you that you chose to send your Son to earth to die for us and to take our place and to pay the penalty of our sin so that we can be called your people. I thank you, Lord, for the hearing of the gospel that allowed many of us in this room to place our faith in Christ and that we are now your people. Father, help us to understand that that salvation is not an end in itself. It is the beginning of a life of service that you want to work through us and use us in a way, Lord, to point others towards you and bring honor to yourself. So, Father, would you preach this message this morning, and may we have open hearts and minds, I ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Moses, the great prophet and leader of Israel, is gone off the scene here in Joshua 1. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. He had done the task that God had given him to do. He served the generation that God put him in, and now the work of God is in the hands of the next generation. But the next generation didn't just inherently know what to do. There was preparation that had been taking place throughout the time that Moses served to ensure that they would be ready. And this chapter that we've just read part of covers that transition of moving from Moses into Joshua. The children of Israel mourned after the death of Moses, and when the mourning was over, which was 30 days, the Bible tells us, God speaks to Joshua, and he says, "Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead." Now keep in mind, that's not a sad truth. Because God tells us that the death of his saints is precious in his sight. And so Moses left this world, and he was then with God, and so he had done the task that God had given him to do. There's an interesting verse in the book of Acts that talks about David. It's Acts 13:36, and Paul is preaching, and he says this, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers." You see, we have one generation to serve our Lord in, and that's it. And then we pass it on. So let's glean some truths in here about transitioning from one generation to another. And the reason I'm doing this morning is because we're having our annual business meeting this afternoon, which is a big deal for us, church. And I hope you plan to be here and be a part of that. You need to be. And so I'm looking at the past year, and I'm looking forward to the year that God has before us. The first truth I want to glean from here in verses 1 and 2 is this, that each generation must rise up and see victories during their life for the cause of Christ. Moses had one generation to impact his nation, and that's all. Now let me ask you a question. Let's go to verse 1 and 2, and I want you to see here. In verse number 2, at the beginning of verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and I'm going to give you the land. Here's the point. Each generation must rise and see victories there in their life for the cause of Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Is our Lord worthy of rising up and getting victories through his name? He sure is. Over the last 7 weeks, the past 7 Sundays, we focus on the perfect Christ. And we looked at it all the way from his incarnation, all the way through until last week when we said that he was the perfect, satisfying Christ. He is worthy of our service. And this message this morning has things in it for the young as well as the old. Young people, I'm talking to you because you need to rise up when it's your turn and you need to see victories for Jesus Christ during your generation. Older folks, I'm talking to you because we've got to prepare these young people, right? Our Lord is worthy. Let me just ask a question this morning. Maybe you all aren't familiar with too many churches outside of Brentwood Baptist Church, but how many of you in here this morning are aware of a church in America that is pastored by a man who is in his 70s or older? How many of you are aware of churches like that? Okay. Brother Potts, didn't you say there was like 3 churches that you'd seen over the past year as you've traveled around to different places who are pastored by men who are in their 70s? What's going to happen when those men go off the scene? Who's going to pastor those churches in a few years when they can't do it any longer? And maybe the more pressing question is this, do we care? Some of these churches we know nothing about. Some of these churches are in small communities scattered throughout America. They may be running 30, 40 people. They may be running a little more or a little less, but they have pastors who have given their hearts and their lives to it, but their generation is about to go on into the way of their fathers, as the Bible says it, and they're passing on, and who's going to take that church? You and I get one generation to serve our Savior, right? Moses did great things for God, but Moses died, and God's people needed to move forward. And so Joshua was given this command by God himself. He says, now, therefore, arise. I want you to notice this other truth. As Moses served his generation, he was training the next. Look at verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, then he goes on. Moses served his generation, but as he was doing it, he was training the next. You might say, I don't see that in that verse. You need to notice here that it refers to Joshua as Moses' minister. Just a few verses later, and we've already read them, and we'll be looking at them again in a minute, he's called Moses' servant. He served Moses as Moses served God. And in doing that, it prepared him. Go to Exodus 17, please. Keep a finger here because we're coming back. We go to Exodus 17. In Exodus chapter 17, I want us to read beginning in verse number 8. This is a familiar story. This is the first battle that Israel seems to be involved in after they've come out of Egypt. It says this in verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Ephraim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. Now he had the rod of God, so I picture this as Moses holding the rod of God up like he had done in some other situations. And so he's holding up his hands, and as he does, Israel prevails. Verse 11, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of... What's the next word? Let me try that again. What's the next word? Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. That is, Jehovah my banner. Why did God say, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua? Very specific, isn't it? Because he was preparing Joshua to serve his generation by learning to trust God. Now, let me ask another question. How did Joshua learn to trust God? By seeing what God had done for the previous generation. Moses had to serve in order for Joshua to see how to serve. Do you get the picture here? Moses is up there doing what God had given Moses to do. And Joshua, during this time, is down there in the battle. He wasn't sitting still. He was down there fighting the battle. And when Joshua was down there fighting the battle, Moses was up on the mountain. And he obviously had the hand of God upon him as he had his hands up and the battle went in their favor. And I've just got to ask again another question this morning, church. Did Joshua learn a lesson from this? Absolutely, he learned a lesson from this. He learned to exercise faith in God, and he saw God do great things as Moses served God. Joshua learned to trust God because he saw Moses trust God, and he saw the outcome of Moses' trusting God. And so here, God even specifically says to Moses, Moses, look, you're preparing for the next man, so I want you to write this down and rehearse it in his ears so that when he's in the heat of another battle, when you're gone 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, 40 years down the road, however far it is down the road, when you're gone and he's out there, he can look back and he can say, wait just a minute, God did this for Moses. God still is able to do this for me. We need to teach our young people that. But in order for them to see it and to learn it, we have to live it, right? We have to live it. Go to Exodus 33. Go over to Exodus 33. And beginning in verse number 8, another familiar story. Exodus 33, verse 8. Keep in mind, we're talking about this point. Moses served his generation, and as he did, he was training the next. Exodus 33, look at verse number 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle. They had just set up the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was there. When Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. As Moses stood in that tabernacle and talked to God, and he heard the voice of God, it wasn't just Moses and God, was it? Joshua was there too. Joshua joined Moses in the tabernacle and was in the presence of God. adults, please don't underestimate the impact of your life upon a younger person. If Moses had not done what he was supposed to do, if Moses had not gone into that tabernacle, if Moses had not talked to God as God wanted him to do, Joshua would not have seen that, would he? Joshua was so impacted by that, that as Moses returned back to his tent, no doubt to rest afterward, Joshua didn't even want to leave. He wanted to stay in the tabernacle and absorb that atmosphere of being in the presence of God. If Moses had not served and trained, Joshua would not have been ready to serve his generation. If Moses had not been on that hilltop, Joshua would not have learned that valuable lesson. Keep this in mind, church. Joshua, in the preceding chapters, is the one who told the sun to stand still. Do you remember that story? He told the sun to stand still. Now, let me ask you this question. Where did he get such faith to be able to call out and have the sun stand still? He got it from seeing Moses, right? And not just Moses, but the way that Moses interacted with God and the way that God interacted with Moses and the way that Moses exercised faith and the way that God honored that faith and did great things through Moses. And Joshua got that lesson in his head that if God wanted to do great things through Moses, He certainly wants to do great things through me and through this nation. If Moses had not gone to the tabernacle to pray and to speak to God, Joshua would not have been in God's presence. We as adults are really good at telling our youth that they need to step up and rise up for God and do great things in their generation. We're really good about doing that. And it's actually inspiring. I love to challenge young people to rise up and do what God has given them to do. But let me ask you this question. Are we in the process of giving them the tools and the direction that they need to do it? And are we living the example for them to follow? Our actions speak louder than our words. When young people see, let's just say your children, or even if it's not your children, let's say other young people, when people see your life and your commitment to God, what do they think? Do they see where you value God? See, Jesus ministered to the multitudes, then He ministered to the 12, then He ministered to the 3, and there's even a pattern in that. And so as we live our lives and as we minister, we likewise should be able to minister not just to the multitudes or be involved in ministry on a large scale or just come and sit in church. We need to be involved in the lives of smaller groups. We need to be involved in the lives of young people, preparing them to serve in their generation. God has opened up opportunities for this church to reach the next generation. And we need to live the example. We need to be involved. We need to do it. I want you to notice this too, that Joshua learned to lead by serving. He's called Moses' servant. Young people, learn this principle. Joshua was Moses' minister. He served with humility. He did the grunt work for Moses. And in the process of doing that, he saw some really amazing things. Things that he would have never seen if he had not served, if he had not been standing by the man of God. As the man of God served God, Joshua would not have seen God work, at least not at the same level. He saw things that could only be seen by being next to the one who was serving God. Now let me say that again, because I want us to get a hold of this principle. He saw things that only could be seen by being next to the one who was serving God. Now parents, be that person for your child. Have them beside you as you serve God. They'll get their perception of the importance of God by watching you. I will never forget when I was a young man. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. My dad had a 1939 Pontiac. And some of your eyes light up when you hear that. It wasn't that my dad was that old, but he just enjoyed old cars. 1939 Pontiac. It had three on the tree. Y'all know what I mean by that? Okay, you're looking at me like you have no idea. It was a manual transmission, three-speed on the column. Yeah, three on the tree. That's what they call it. Okay, I better get back to preaching instead of talking about cars. But I would hear my dad in the evenings after supper. He would say to my mom, he said, I'm going to go out and pray. And my dad would go out and get in the back seat of that 39 Pontiac and pray. And he did that almost every evening, depending on some of the events or whatever was going on. And I remember asking one day, Dad, can I go out there and pray with you? He said, well, son, if you want to, you can come out. And I went out and I sat in the front seat while my dad got in the back seat of that car. And it was as if I was never there. He called out to God, and for I don't know how long, he just prayed and cried out to God. I will never forget that. Parent, be the example for your children. Let them know how important God is to you by your actions. Joshua served the one who served God. And that prepared him for the position of leadership when his generation became the leading generation. Now let's talk for just a moment about some parenting principles. I want to remind us of a few of the pictures that we saw. Y'all remember seeing this one? Children have a built-in desire to get involved. They have a built-in desire to please. They have an eagerness. You know, I asked some questions yesterday in men's Bible study. I didn't see a single man get out of his seat and go, ooh, 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 pick me, pick me. We kind of outgrow that, don't we? But it is a God-given tool so that parents can train their children properly. Think about that. God has built this into children so that we as parents can take advantage of that and train our children properly. It is a God-given tool. Start when they're young. At some point, they're going to begin to outgrow that. And so you want to start them when they're young, learning how to worship God, learning how to serve God in whatever capacity they can at that point. Teach them to serve as they grow. You all remember this one? Three good-looking young men there. Okay. What are you doing shaking your head, Josiah? Yep. That's us. That's us. As they grow, teach them to serve and continue serving while they're young so it becomes a part of their life as they grow up. So that as they get older, it's not awkward or it's not unusual for them. They just continue to grow. They continue to serve. They continue to be involved. They're continuing to be in God's house doing what God has given them to do and following the instructions. You've got to do this, folks. As they grow up, we've got to train the next generation to serve our God. Because one day we're going to be off the scene. Look, there's three young men up there. They're up there, right? Yeah, there they are. Three young men in their teens. One of these days, I'm going to be too old to pastor this church. And I've already got plans. When I'm too old to pastor this church, I'm going to go teach in a Bible college until I can't do that anymore. Then they're going to prop me up and I'll do something. But I'm going to die with my shoes on, serving my God, preparing the next generation. Who knows if one of these young men up here won't pastor this church? Right? But they have to be prepared, right? Are you involved? Now, they may not grow to be a Joshua. They may not become the man that leads, but they could be an Aaron or a Hur that stands next to the man of God and holds up his hands, right? Teach them. Let me show you another slide here. Do you see that face? Chloe, you're going to have to forgive me for just a moment. You see the word I wrote over here? Look at that face. I'd hate to be the person receiving that stare. look at this fist. She's ready to go. I don't know what she's about to do, but whatever it is, she's determined to do it. Young people have that determination, don't they? We need to teach them how to harness that, and we need to get them to focus that in serving God. Listen, if they want to use it to play sports, that's okay. That's fine. They can do that. They can have fun with it. But I got to tell you what, if that's the only way they use it, you are misguiding your young person into using their talents for the Lord. They need to learn how to focus that. They need to learn how to use that determination for the Lord. Let me show you another slide here. You remember seeing that one? Listen, I'm just going to ask you a question here. Why does this old guy right here, obviously a fifth-year senior involved in this picture, why does this old guy continue to play his trumpet? I'll give you four reasons. Rebecca, Josiah, Aiden, and Ronick. You know why I keep playing my trumpet? Because I want to play right next to these guys here. I joke about it and I say they make me sound good. But the truth of the matter is, I want to see them up there playing. Because one of these days, I'm going to be too old to do it and somebody's got to prepare the next generation beyond them, right? Are y'all with me this morning? I want us to get a hold of this vision. Each generation has to rise up. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Changed. God's word will never change. Joshua was the man who prayed for the sun to stand still. And where did he learn to have such faith? He learned it from being Moses' minister. God wants to do great things through you and your generation. Then those of you in your 40s, God wants to do great things. What God has given us to do, not sitting on the sidelines or just bringing them to church. We need to be involved with them in the church. Well, look at verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Build on the next generation or the last generation. Build on that. Look at the heritage. Understand the battles that were fought. Build on what they taught you. Keep sound doctrine. Don't give in to the pressure of the times to change. Now listen, there's a tendency in today's culture to throw off the beliefs of the older generation just because they're older and to become more contemporary. And you know what? I do understand asking questions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do things this way? We need to understand. That's why we have a doctrinal statement that is solid, that is sound, that is extensive, and that is supported by Scripture so that we know why we do what we do. And at some point, young people, you have to take the God of your parents and the God of your pastor and the God of those who have preceded you, and you have to make that your God. He has to become yours. But you build on what you've been taught, and if you've been taught properly, you have a great advantage over those who have not been taught properly. Thank God for it and take it and build on it. And in verses 7 and 8, the foundation is the Word of God. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The foundation is the Word of God, because that never changes. Too much teaching today is not founded on God's immutable Word. We live in a time where doctrine is minimized. Doctrine is not that important. What's important is feeling good and being accepted as I am. That's the top priority, is just to be accepted. You know what? If we want to be accepted as we are, then we're no different than the churches that say, come as you are, leave as you were. Because God gives us the strength and the power, the ability to change. Seeing victories for God in your generation, young people, is not going to come by warm, fuzzy feelings. Seeing victories for God is going to come in knowing His Word. God never tells us to feel Him. He tells us to know Him. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see the way that Paul puts it when he writes to Timothy, a young man who was a pastor. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse number 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14, the Bible says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." There's that building on the last generation. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And there's one generation teaching another. Verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In one nutshell, the Apostle Paul puts this great truth: scripture is inspired by God. So everything is founded upon inspired Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine. There's the truth that sets the standard. For reproof, there's what shows us that we're not living up to the standard. For correction, there's what brings us in line with that standard. And for instruction in righteousness, that's what brings us beyond that and allows us to grow so that we can be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it all begins right here with God's Word. Do we get that? The foundation is God's Word. Now let me make some practical application here. Parents, train your children properly. Have your children at every church event and teach them the importance of God's house. If those doors are open and they're age appropriate, you have them here. When those doors are open, let them see that church is important to you. Every service that we have here is different, and every service is needed. I've had people ask me if our Sunday night is just a repeat of Sunday morning just to work around people's schedules. And the answer to that is no. We worship God on Sunday morning. We come back Sunday night, we worship God again. But it's a little bit different atmosphere. We come back Wednesday night, we worship God and we pray. And we have children's ministries going on. We have Bible studies that happen once a month for the men, twice a month for the ladies. We have prayer meetings that take place here on Saturday night with the men. All of these things are important. All of these things are part of the growth and the preparation and the moving God's house forward. And parents, have your children here at every event, Sunday school, so that they can learn the stories that are being taught and the principles in Sunday school, so that they can be in children's church on Sunday morning, so that they can worship with you on Sunday night, so that we can be together and teach. And you might say, but Pastor, if I do that, my child might become a little fanatical about God. My child might actually surrender to full-time service. And I would say, praise God for that. And if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem. Listen, I just want to show you something here. This is a chart showing world population growth. Now, those of you that were in Sunday school when we were going through the prophecies, Book of Revelation and prophetic events, we used this then and it really made an impact on me. See how the population has grown. Let me show you here. Now this chart is taken from the place called Our World Data. There's a problem with it. It's not a Christian organization. They have the world going back, you know, prior to 10,000 BC. The truth is the world is about 6,000 years old. So right about here, 4,000 BC is as old as it goes. So this really doesn't count. But if you notice from there up to where we're at today, when Christ walked on this earth, there were about 200 to 250 million people. That's a guesstimate, but that's a guesstimate that I've read in a few different places. And so that would have been about 2,000 years ago, somewhere between 200 and 250 million people. You see what happened? Somewhere around, in 1700, it was 600 million. In 1800, it was 990 million. and look at what's happened. You realize right now, in 1975, the population has probably doubled since 1975. The last record here is 7.9 billion in 2022. We're in 2023, so maybe around 8 billion. And in 1975, there were 4 billion. So population has doubled because of potential peace. Well, not potential, but more peace than what the world had seen prior to that. Better medicine, better understanding of hygiene, and all of those things. And so the population has just exploded. Now let me ask a question, church. Have we as Christians kept up with the population growth as far as spreading the gospel and starting churches? No, we've not. Does that bother you? Do you feel any responsibility in that? Have we encouraged our children to serve God through the local church so that their generation can be affected? The UN estimates that around 385,000 babies are born each day. Those are 385,000 souls that Jesus died for. There's about 160,000 deaths each day. That leaves an increase of about 225,000 souls per day. Today, if these statistics are close to right, there will be about 225,000 people added to the population. How many churches should have been started? And how many missionaries should have gone to a foreign field to keep up with that population? We need to win souls, and we need to teach our children to win souls. Do you all see it? Do we even take advantage of the ministries that we have to teach and train our children? Like Sunday school, Wednesday night ministries? We're doing our best here. I'll be honest with you. We're not a big church. We don't have a big staff. We're doing the best we can to help prepare the next generation. We're going to go door hanging here and do some canvassing in March. Are you going to come with us? Every Sunday afternoon, we have a group of men, small group that goes door to door. And if people are interested, they'll follow back up and go back and touch bases with them later. Brother Jeff Erickson just retired. He's going to start overseeing the organization and the coordination of an outreach so that we're on a better organized position. We're going to start offering some classes on Sunday nights about leading a person to Christ. How do you do that? How do you share the gospel? Because some of you may be uncomfortable with that. We found out recently that people are very interested in getting prayer. I say we found out recently, we knew that, but recently we have been reminded of the fact that people are looking for prayer. We're going to print some yard signs that says something to the effect of, do you need prayer? And there'll be a QR code there where they can scan. It brings them to our church website. They can enter a prayer request, and it gives us a contact. But we need people who are willing to take those requests and pray for them. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to be a part of the outreach? Would you be willing to be a part of making sure that we do our part as a church to reach the next generation? I'm just going to go ahead and announce this now. Ever since our men took a trip to Liberia a few years ago, I've been wanting to do that for the church. You all remember Brother Burdine standing here and saying that he had invited me to come down, wanted me to come down and teach in his college in Nicaragua, a missionary that we support. While they were here last, I talked to him about a church trip. We're going to take a church missions trip to Nicaragua this fall. It'll be in August. I guess it'd be summer. August the 7th through the 14th. We're going to open it up to church folks. I would love to take about 10 to 15 people with me. And I would love to take people that are young, from teenagers up into their 30s or 40s. I would love to take 10 to 15 people from this church down to Nicaragua. The way it's going to work, I'm going to be teaching during the day and preaching in the evening. I'm going to be quite busy, but we need a group of people that are going to be willing to go and to do things for them. And if you can go, please go. If you can't, then you can give and you can pray. It's going to cost somewhere $1,500 at the most for each person to go down there. And there will be qualifications to go because you're going to be representing this church. We're not going to take a vacation. We're going to minister. And I would love to see a group from this church go down there and be a part of it. And why do we do that? Why do we take time to do that sort of thing? It's not because we want to go down there and dig a well and help with humanitarian needs. And that would be fine if that were part of it. And it, you know, we may do some work around the campus, but we're going down there so that we can develop a burden for souls and a burden for missions and help the next generation to see how that they need to be reaching souls for Jesus Christ. And I pray that a number of you in this room have a burden to do it. And if you need to take time off work and if you need to spend the extra money, then let's get on a plane and go and let's go down there and do what God has given us to do. And broaden our vision, broaden our perspective. I guarantee it'll change your life. It'll change your perspective on ministry. You will not come back the same. You'll come back with a greater burden for souls. You'll come back with a greater burden for missions. And we're going to have a meeting later. I haven't set the date yet. We'll have a meeting later to talk to those who are interested. If you're interested, please make a note of this. But there will be qualifications. You'll need to be busy here in order to go down there and do that. And I pray that you're willing. But it's just another thing that we're going to do to help prepare us and help us see that we need to win people for Jesus Christ.